Hello everyone and welcome to episode 1 of the VCE Physical Education Podcast. In this episode we'll be exploring measuring tools and the way in which we can go about ensuring or finding out if people are actually meeting the National Physical Activity Guidelines. We'll look at the advantages and the disadvantages of different methods and we'll try and determine how you can best apply the correct method to certain situations. Now, a common question that gets asked in this subject is, why would we actually care about measuring physical activity amongst populations? And it is a pretty good question, but it does have a pretty straightforward answer in that the more that we know about people and the burdens they have on physical activity, the more we can try and improve physical activity for those people. Now, the reason we want to improve physical activity is because it actually limits the burden of disease or preventable diseases that we are likely to experience. Things like cardiovascular disease, respiratory diseases, diabetes, etc. are all preventable, and one of the greatest things that we can do to prevent these is to be physically active. So by measuring people to determine whether they are being physically active, we can have a really good emphasis on trying to intervene and give them skills and so forth to become physically active. So in a way, measuring devices help us determine whether or not we do need to intervene and how or which possibly we can go about doing that. The first methods of assessing physical activity that we're going to look at include what are known as objective measures. Now, objective measures actually records data and statistics, and they have something that can be represented in actual terms. These are really powerful because they often are used in the child and elderly, people who have limited cognitive abilities, because the device itself or the trained person is responsible for collecting the valuable information. So when we talk about these tools, it's important to know which sort of group you would consider using these with. One of the popular tools that we've probably all come across at some stage in our life is the pedometer, and it's an example of an objective tool. And it's, although in terms of measuring physical activity, it doesn't really do a whole lot. It doesn't measure the frequency of your steps or your intensity or your duration. It doesn't measure the type of activity that you're doing, or the context, or energy expenditure, but it can help us determine behavior to some extent. So we can see how physically active some people are, the type of things that they're likely to achieve, and we can sort of get an impression or a general impression about their physical activity levels. There are, in late advances in technology, pedometers that can do a whole lot more for determining energy expenditure and so forth, but the general pedometer that we've probably all seen and comes in cereal boxes at some stage, they do give us just a step count, and that can be useful, but not as useful as some of the other tools that we will look at. Probably more useful is what's known as the accelerometer. Now, an accelerometer tracks movement counts, and it's basically a tiny little chip that can be used inside of things that are strapped to a person, like they wear them on their belt perhaps, and really useful for elderly and children, as was mentioned before. And they measure how intense movements occur, and they basically count those movements over time. And the more movements that occur within a designated time period can be attributed to a higher intensity. So, you know, this will help you determine how intense someone works, how frequently they work, and obviously the duration of which they work, but it doesn't allow us to determine what type of activity they were doing or the context in which that activity was taking place. It's not going to tell you that they were swimming or whether they were walking or running or so forth. Really, really useful for determining a possible energy expenditure, because given the amount of G-forces that the accelerometer picks up, that can be attributed to a level of intensity. So, for example, moving into, say, 1G range, that might be a low intensity. 3Gs, you might be at a medium, and greater than 5Gs, G-forces, then maybe you're at a high intensity. So really useful. Advantage is that it picks up all that amount of data, but the disadvantage is cost. And it's impractical to think that a school that wants to assess students that to see whether they're active is going to use an accelerometer. In fact, it's unrealistic. However, they are used, and they're very well used with people, as I said, with limited cognitive abilities. The final objective measure that we're going to look at is direct observation, and direct observation is something that is really, really wonderful, but requires someone who's obviously trained in being able to do the observation. Therefore, meaning that it can be expensive, because if you have to employ someone who has, you know, expenses, then it becomes a bit unrealistic again. But it's probably the most beneficial in terms of actually ensuring that you're tracking the best and most relevant data for use in any sort of intervention. It can track all of the different dimensions of physical activity, so the frequency, intensity, and duration, and so on. It is quite good for ensuring that people get the most useful data out of that particular situation. It's something that is, or you can only really observe one person at a time. So, you know, you can't have someone directly observing an entire class of students. It's sort of impossible. So you need a lot of people or a lot of time to get through an entire group. And that's where some of the other measures like a pedometer or an accelerometer may become more useful depending on your situation. So objective measures, quite useful for tracking down real facts and real figures, and that sort of information can be translated into interventions. Subjective measures are what we're going to explore next, and basically subjective measures rely on the person's own opinions or thoughts on their own physical activity and behavior. And this comes in the form of diaries and logs and recall surveys and so on. And generally, they're less reliable because you're dealing with people who may not be trained, and they can be biased. So people will actually maybe report that they're being more physically active than they actually are. But the good thing to consider here is cost, and subjective measures are quite affordable and can be quite useful for determining all the levels of or all dimensions of physical activity. You know, they can help you determine intensity and the frequency and the duration and so on, which some of the objective measures that are more expensive don't do. The first tool that we're going to look at is what's known as a diary or a log, and this is pretty obvious that it's a diary or a plan, and people put in the details about their how long they exercise for, what they did, their intensity levels. They might use simple intensity charts like a Borg scale, where they can plot whether it was a rating of 1 being very easy or right to 10 being extremely difficult. Or they might even use other measures, but it's a diary and log, and they track it at the completion of physical activity, and they can sort of report back and see whether or not they have met physical activity guidelines. Pretty straightforward, minimal cost, but we have a little bit of what's known as reactivity, because people tend to sort of exaggerate what they do, and it's something that that can be a bit of a problem for getting really reliable data. The good thing about it is we can do this with large groups because it's easy to administer, but the problem is if you're doing it with a massive group, then you have to try and collect all that data and actually analyze it, which is a bit of a problem because it takes a lot of time and you need the skills to do it. It's, again, probably not something that you would use with the elderly or with young children because of their limited cognitive abilities. They may not be able to recall what they've done or even be able to stick to the format and remember it and so on. So some of the other things that we can do in the subjective domain are recall surveys, and they're a little bit different to diaries and logs in that you are given a survey, as we've seen in the past, And you've probably done one like this before where you're asked to record what physical activity you have completed in the preceding days. Now, this has no reactivity because you're not aware of it until you actually are doing the survey. And that means that you can't exaggerate if you tell the truth, and you actually have to record the physical activity as it's happened. So this is a really good one. It's obviously low cost again. You can give this with a massive amount of people because it's, again, low cost and it's easy to administer. But the same rule applies in that if you've got so many people doing it and so much data to get through, then you need to be a trained individual to ensure that the data makes sense and you can actually start to draw some conclusions from it. So subjective measures are generally considered fine because they allow us to do and track all the dimensions, but again, it comes down to the person, their capabilities, and how well they are endorsed in actually doing the different activities. A little bit of discipline is obviously what's needed when you're doing a diary, and obviously honesty and so forth is going to be important when you do a recall survey, because you know we want accurate data, so we want people to do it correctly, because if we can get accurate data, we can start to draw conclusions and start to try and intervene in improving physical activity behavior. Joining us for episode one of the VCE Physical Education Podcast. Hope now you have an understanding of subjective, objective measures that are expected that you are aware of for the exam. It's important to understand that there is what's known as a trade-off between the different measures. So generally the trade-off is between practicality, so how easily it is to do that measure, and accuracy. So as practicality increases, our accuracy tends to decrease, and vice versa. As accuracy increases, something, the practicality tends to get more complex. Now you can see this relationship with something like direct observation. It's seen as the most accurate of the measures, however its practicality is quite high in that you need someone who's trained and you can only do it on one subject at a time and so forth. However, compare that with a diary or a log, its practicality is really, really high, but its accuracy is a little bit more reduced. So think about those different measuring tools, look at the situation that you've been given, think about which one would be best for your particular subject or your group of people that you're looking at, and then you can go ahead and look at why you would choose that measure and so on. The most important thing that we think about here is the steps in which we would actually measure. We obviously go from measuring an individual, and then we can determine whether they're sedentary or whether they're physically active, and then start to actually tailor programs that may suit or seek to improve their physical activity. So stay tuned. Look forward to seeing you all in episode two. And if you have any questions, feel free to post them on the VCEPE Facebook page. Remember, the iPhone and Android apps are also available for free in their respective stores. Just search VCEPE. See you all.